You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We've been teaching the last 3 weeks or so on the faith of Abraham. In fact, we were just going to teach on it one night, and then it turned into 2 nights, and then it turned into 3 nights out of Romans, the 4th chapter. And I just got a stir about faith and along the subject of faith, and I believe that's what we're going to stay on for a while, is the subject of faith on Wednesday nights for a while. I like to teach series and get on a subject and take it apart and dig into it and dissect it and take our time. Amen? And we're not in any hurry. I mean, if we don't get finished tonight, we'll start pick it up next week and week after and week after till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. But on the subject of faith, turn with me to Hebrews 11 chapter. I'm going to kind of just hover over this chapter over the next few weeks, I'm sure, and just take it apart, because faith is so important to all of us. It is our, it is our connection to God. Faith doesn't save, faith doesn't heal, faith doesn't create anything, but faith does connect to the Savior and connect to the healer. Are you with me? And connect to the miracle worker. And when we talk about believing God and standing in faith for something, our faith didn't create anything. God creates. He's the creator, not us. And technically, our faith doesn't heal. He's the healer. You know, when Jesus says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," if you look at that section of Scripture in question, or Mark the 5th chapter, where the woman with the issue of blood came behind, touched his garment, and virtue of power came out of Jesus, the Bible tells us power came out of Jesus. And so the power to heal her was in Jesus. Jesus was the healer. And that's something we need to understand about faith. Faith's not just some mystical, subjective thing, you know, your faith, different my faith, and you believe something, I believe something else. It's just kind of like whether you like peanut butter or don't like peanut butter, or you like the color blue, you like the color green. Those are subjective things. Faith's not like that, because faith doesn't get anything done if it's not based on reality. I mean, you could believe that this chair would turn into a frog all day long. It's never going to turn into a frog. You have no basis to believe that. And if you just believe strong enough, it'll happen. No, it won't. It's no amount of strong faith will turn that chair into a frog. There's no basis for that. Are you out there? Faith has an object of faith. So when we talk about our faith and we're believing for something, we're believing something God said. We're believing something He promised. We're believing the Word. The Word is the object of our faith, and ultimately Jesus is the object of our faith. Amen? So faith, in that sense, faith is not magical. Faith is not like saying, "Please, at the table, getting the butter." You know, faith is based on something that God has already said and already told us, already there. So the first thing about faith is you've got to find it in the Word. And you know, what is it you believe? What is it that I believe? Some people say, "Well, I believe this, and you believe that." Doesn't matter as long as you believe. Well, no, it does matter what you believe. Because if what you believe is not true, no amount of believing is going to make it true. Are you out there? Let's say I were believing for healing. Did you know if God weren't a healer, I couldn't believe for healing? I could believe all day long, but it wouldn't get me healed. The only reason we can get healed as Christians is because by His stripes we were healed. Because He says, "Pray one for another that you may be healed." And the only reason we have any guarantee of going to heaven and being saved, as it were, being born again, having our sins forgiven, is because God says that. He said, "Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There's the promise that we're believing. Well, I just believe everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, you got no basis to believe that, because the Bible doesn't tell us that. Are you with me? Everybody doesn't go to heaven. But those that believe in Jesus do go to heaven. So now you have an objective faith. You have a faith that is based on an object, being God's Word and ultimately Jesus. Not a subjective faith that's just based on what anybody wants to believe. Well, I don't care. That's just what I want to believe. Are you with me? Some people are belligerent like that. And you even hear some people talking about truth that way. Well, that's your truth, but this is my truth. Well, truth's not subjective to you or me. Truth is truth, whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it. A lot of people live a certain lifestyle, and they say, "Well, this is my truth. I'm living my truth." Well, no, truth's not relative to what I want or you want. Truth is truth. That's like saying, "Well, 1 and 1 make it equal 2 for you, but it equals 3 for me." Are you out there? I mean, you can't change mathematics just because you believe they're not true. Although I'll probably get on shaky ground and start talking about mathematics, because I think sometimes 1 and 1 equals 3 in today's math. But anyway, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to jump off the roof and I'm not going to hit the ground. No, you'll hit the ground. That's called gravity. And it doesn't matter what you believe, you're going to hit the ground because that's truth. That's no amount of believing is going to change that. But believing in prayer for things to change and believing the promises of God to change situations is based on what God, it's based on something solid. It's based on something real. Our faith is not based on me wanting to get better or healed. My faith's not based on me wanting to go to heaven. My faith is based on God's promise that I can go to heaven if I believe Him, His promise that I can be healed if I trust Him. Are you with me? In fact, when you think of Bible faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13, if you're writing notes, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says we all have the same spirit of faith. Now, this is pretty well sums it up. Paul said it when he talked about the spirit of faith, Bible faith. We all have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, there's a one. There's an ABC. There's a 1, 2, 3. Written, believed, spoken. First got to be written. First got to be based on what God says. Not based on church doctrine, because, you know, all churches got different doctrine. It's amazing the difference between denominations and, you know, within the Christian faith. But our faith is not based on the bylaws or constitutions of the church. Our faith is based on what the Word of God says, what the Scripture says. Are you out there, hallelujah, somebody? And whatever it is you're believing, do you have a promise on that? Do you have a scripture on it? Because that's primary. That's first. First thing when you're talking about faith is it's got to be first be written. Then it's believed. Then it's spoken. And you can actually go a little further and say you act on it. You live it out. You do it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then it comes to pass. But it's an objective faith. You can't say, well, I just want this and I just want that. I'm going to believe for that. Well, you know what? You may want it or you may not want it, but it really doesn't matter if God doesn't promise it. But if He promises it, you have every right to stand on it. And you know what? Many times what you want is promised in the Bible. So that's not to discourage us from pursuing our desires and our dreams and our goals. That is to encourage us to find in the Word where God says He will do that. And then believe God on the basis of what He has promised He would do. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. And that's our connection. You know, it's like a battery in a vehicle. You know, you have cables that hook on to that battery. The power source that comes from battery. I mean, that's what supplies the electricity for all the electrical parts in your car, lights and so on and so forth. Everything's run off electricity. And, of course, you've got generators and now alternators now, you know, that charge up the battery and so on and so forth. The cables, you know, they're not that expensive parts. They're pretty simple parts. They just hook on the battery, you know. But if you take them off, you got no connection. Isn't that right? If the cables aren't hooked up, the power's all there, but it's not running through the engine. It's not cranking all the, you know, the engine. It's not turning everything around. The lights aren't coming on. Nothing's working. So faith is like cables. It's like you got to keep them connected. You got to keep your faith connected to God. You got to stay in faith and not get in doubt and unbelief, not start wavering and stop trusting God and start talking negatively and so on. So what you're doing, you're disconnecting the cables when you start talking, God's not going to do this, this is not working out, this is not happening, it's not going to happen, I guess I'm never going to get out of this mess, hello. You're disconnecting the cables. Now, this is not mind over matter. I'm not talking about, well, if you just think hard enough, it'll happen. No, I'm talking about getting connected to the power of God. Something that's real. God's power. It's there. We just need to hook up with it, amen? And our faith is what hooks us up with it. You can hope for things all your life. You could wish things were better. But see, this is not hoping and wishing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about believing God, which is different than just positive confession or just hoping and wishing. Faith's not hope. Hope is a good thing. I'm not against hope, neither is God. Hope is a start, but you need to go from hope to faith. A desire is good. A want is good. But then a real belief that it will happen, that's faith. Well, we just prayed. How are things going? Well, I hope it gets better. Well, no, that's not faith. Faith's not just hoping it'll get better. Faith is saying, well, you know what? We just prayed and I believe. Yeah. it's going to be like God said. Well, I sure hope so. Are you out there? We often say that. We'll say, well, I sure hope so. I sure hope it gets better. Well, that's not faith. That's a wish. That's a desire. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need to go further and deeper than that if you're going to move in God. If you want God to move in your life and you want the promises to come to pass, you need to believe them. You need to trust God. You need to thank God. You need to act like they're true and start getting positive and confident in God that His word will come to pass. He will do what He says. He's not a man. He lied to the Son of Man. He repent. Praise God. He's not just idly talking and babbling and making promises that don't work. They do work. Amen? And faith is stronger than hope. Faith works with hope, but it's stronger than hope. Hebrews 11:1. Y'all found it? Notice what it says here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, that makes it a little different than hope. Hope is a desire. It's a want. But faith is the substance of our hope and our desire. It puts reality and substance to our dreams. Now, you can dream if you want. You can hope if you want. But if you want your dreams to come true, if you want your hopes to come to pass, then get in faith. Start trusting God. Find God's word on the matter. According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. And then you can put substance to your hopes. As long as you're hoping, it's a desire. It's kind of a mystical thing. It's kind of an ethereal thing. It's not a reality. It's a desire you wish. When I wish upon a star. You remember that song. You know, it's there. Everybody wants to get better. Everybody wants to do better. Everybody wants to feel better. You go on with a list of want-tos and desires, but still that's in the realm of hope. But when you come along and you see what God says, then you begin to realize that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith puts reality and substance to the dreams I've had. I begin to see that that is possible, that I can get better, I can do better, that God does want to move in my life. And here's the promise that says that. Are you with me? And so I begin to trust God and believe God, and faith all of a sudden puts substance to my hopes and to my dreams. It's no longer just a desire anymore or a wish anymore. It is a reality. Hallelujah. In fact, I think the Amplified in this verse says that it's the title deed of what's not revealed to our senses. In King James, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it happening yet. It doesn't look like anything's changed in the natural, but I found a promise. I found where God says He would do it. I've hooked my cables to the battery. Hallelujah. Are you with me? My cables of faith. And I've said, I believe that, God, I believe. And all of a sudden, the power's starting to run through my system. Amen? And maybe the lights aren't on yet, but they're fixing to come on. And the radio's fixing to come on. Hallelujah. And what I've been hoping for is going to become substance. And it's going to become a reality. That's exactly what happened when Jesus was born in the earth. We don't often think about it like this, but really it is. It's exactly what happened. The Bible tells us in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with Him. Without Him was not anything made was made. Speaking of Jesus. Then in the 14th verse of that first chapter of John, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what was in the Spirit in the beginning became a natural fleshly reality in the birth of Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It had been prophesied. It had been promised. There are many scriptures in the Old Testament talked about the coming of the Lord, down to the very place, the city He was going to be born. Micah 5:2 says, O Bethlehem of Judea, thou art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, shall rule my people Israel, whose going forth has been from everlasting to everlasting. Prophesied He'd be born in Bethlehem, and it tells us very plainly there that it was the Ancient of Days that He was talking about, whose going forth had been from everlasting to everlasting. So, you know, a question would be, okay, we see all that in the Old Testament. The seed of the woman bruised the seed of the serpent. Back in Genesis 3, God prophesied that it's not seed of man, but the seed of the woman would bruise the seed of the serpent, which is what happened. Jesus came through a woman. His father was God, not Adam, not man, not Joseph. His father was God. His mother was Mary. He always existed as God, as the Word. But when the Word became flesh, Mary became the mother of that flesh. and the seed of the woman, as it was prophesied in Genesis 3. That scripture came to pass. Well, how does, here's a good question, in teaching, talking about faith, and that's what we're on here. How does a scripture or a promise, a prophecy, whatever, how does it become flesh and dwell among us? I mean, how do you get these things that God says into your life? I mean, how do you get them to take on form and substance? Well, obviously, faith is how they take on substance. Remember when Gabriel announced to Mary that she was going to be with child and not ever known a man, and that it would be by the Holy Ghost, and that thing would be called the Son of God? And she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." In other words, she believed. She believed what God said. And when you believe what God says, then what God says becomes flesh. That's how the flesh, that's how Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. That's how that promise had an entrance into this earth, because when God confronted the woman with it, she believed it. And her faith in it, if she'd have said no, the mother of Jesus would have been Shirley or some other woman. Are you with me? He'd found somebody to believe. And it required free will, someone to choose, someone to believe. And Mary believed. And that's why we call her Mary, the mother of God. Well, actually, she wasn't the mother of God. She's mother of the man part. God never had a beginning. He doesn't have a father as God. He has a father as a man. But anyway, she had to believe in order for that promise to come to pass. That's how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld its glory. We handled it. We touched it. We felt it. If you want to handle, touch, and feel God's promises, if you want these promises to take on form and become, come into your world, as they were, you're going to have to say to the promise, "Be it unto me according to your word." By your stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Be it unto me according to your word. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I am saved. I will not perish. I have eternal life. That promise becomes a reality, takes on form and flesh. Are you with me? You know, when Mary visited Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. And her husband, of course, Zacharias, was doing his priestly duties in the temple. And an angel appeared to him and told him he was going to have a, him and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a child in their old age. And he had trouble with it and said, "How's that going to be?" Well, angel wasn't real happy about it. And he couldn't talk for 9 months. He was struck mute, could not talk for 9 months. But evidently he communicated everything to Elizabeth somehow, some way. Because here comes Mary after she had her visitation to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was 6 months with the child, is what the Bible says. And when, you know, she walked into her room, the Bible says the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth began to prophesy. And she said concerning Mary, said, "Blessed art thou among women." He says, "There shall be a performance of the things that were told you because you believed." That's what she said. It's in the book of Luke where we have this account. "There shall be a performance of the things that were told you by the Lord because you believed." Because you believed. Because you believed. Everybody say, "Because you believed." Because you believed. See, if you believe, then God's word will be performed for you. If you're tired, I've seen what I can do, and I'm not ready for an encore, but I'd sure like to see God perform a little more in my life. Wouldn't you? Instead of just me. I want to see God perform. I want to see his performance, what he says, what he promises. Well, how does that happen? Well, I'm going to have to believe to see a performance of what God says. I'm going to have to say, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word." If that word is ever going to become flesh and dwell among me, if I'm ever going to behold the glory of it, hallelujah. Whatever that promise is, whether it's peace, whether it's eternal life, whether it's healing or whatever else God says, I'm going to have to hook the battery cables to the battery. Woo, hallelujah. And then it's no longer something I'm just a hoping for. I'm a wishing. Hoping and wishing and praying. No, I'm not hoping and wishing and praying. I'm believing. Are you with me? Then, now my faith is putting substance to the things that I've hoped for. And my faith is the evidence of the things that I do not see. In other words, God's word, with my faith, I believe what God says, evidences to me. It is the title deed to me that I am healed or that I am saved. Even on days when I don't feel saved, faith tells me I am saved. Based on the Word, amen, based on an objective faith, based on what God says, I am saved because I believe what God says. I believe what God says, and it is the title day. Faith in that sense, in that looking at it that way, faith is a sense. It is a spiritual sense. We talked about this either last week or week before, but where it says it's the evidence of things not seen, seeing something is what you do with your eyes. That's a sense or a faculty of your eyes. Hearing is a faculty of your ears. And then smelling, of course, your nose, taste your mouth, touch your hands, and so on and so forth. Well, faith emanates from the heart. It is a faculty of the heart. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart, man believes. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession unto salvation. So you might say, with the hand, man feels. With the eye, man sees. With the nose, man smells. With the ear, man hears. With the mouth, man tastes. With the heart, man believes. Make sense? Okay. So it's like a sixth sense. John Osteen, our pastor, my pastor for years, Brother and I pastored, Brother John Osteen wrote a book called The Sixth Sense. And it was called The Spiritual Sense of Faith. It's a sixth sense. We have five senses in the natural, but then there's a sixth sense in the spirit, which is faith. And if you just understand senses, it's real simple. I can see things I can't hear. I've never heard a great sunset. I've seen a lot of them that are beautiful. Are you with me? But I've never seen a beautiful melody. I've heard several of them just move me to tears. You know, beautiful song, worship, whatever the case may be. I didn't see it. I heard it. That's the faculty of hearing. Now, just because I couldn't see the sound didn't mean the sound wasn't there. Seeing is not something I hear with. Are you with me? And just because I don't... Just because I don't hear the... If I'm driving down the road on the highway and I see a car move over, approaching me into my lane, just because I don't smell the car, just because I don't hear the car, just because I don't feel the car, are you with me? Just because I don't taste the car, doesn't mean the car's not there. In fact, I know it's there because I see the car. Right? And it's no question that if I don't move, I will eventually taste the car. Amen? But I don't need evidence or proof of that with my other senses before I make a move. In fact, I need to make a move pretty quick. If I see it, if I understand my senses and understand how they all operate, I need to move. In fact, my life all day long is being directed by one sense many times or two. And hardly ever all five at the same time. Are you with me? And yet it's funny, when we get to faith, we just tend to just take a vote. Isn't that wild? I mean, would you take a vote if you saw a car crossing over your lane coming at you at 65, 70 miles an hour? You wouldn't sit there and say, start smelling. And you know, you see it, and that one sense, because you trust it and you understand it, although nothing is felt because you see it, doesn't mean you feel it, but you know you would if you continued on that track. Isn't that right? I mean, that's walking by, to walk by sight is to see something and to go after it, to see that door when this service is over, and to go walk over there toward that door because you know it's there, and you don't stop and say, man, I sure hope it's there. No, yeah, there's no hope, and you know it's there. You've grown in your senses. You're old enough to know that what your eyes tell you is true. Amen? And right on down the list of things. But all of a sudden, sometimes when it comes to faith, we pray. God says we're healed. He says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And we get prayed for and we lay hands on you. And you know, and then we walk away and go, well, I don't feel any different. Well, maybe you hasn't come in contact with your flesh yet. But if you'll walk by faith, as the banner says, 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith and not by sight, you will get to the door. Amen. And you will get to the feeling, but the feeling doesn't come first. That woman with the issue of blood said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She said that long time before she ever had that happen to her. And it wasn't until she grabbed his garment, then power came out of him and virtue came out of him, and then she felt in her heart, she felt in her body that she was healed. She didn't feel first. She believed first. She felt second. And you won't pass through the door before you step out on the sense of seeing. You step out first, and then you manifest or come in contact with what your eyes show you, although your other senses don't detect it. And if I were to hear someone honking outside, just because I can't see the car doesn't mean it's not there. But if I follow that sense, I will see the car. Isn't that true? What if I smell something burning in the house? A pretty good indication something's on fire. I might not hear anything. Might not see anything, but I smell something burning. You ever smelled something burning? Maybe in your car or in a house, and you get to looking around, and sure enough, something's on fire. Woohoo! But that's not a time to begin to check all your senses out. That's a time to understand your senses and understand that smelling smells, seeing sees, hearing hears, and feeling feels. And when it comes to the things of God, come on, we're not talking about being crazy. We're not talking about being illogical or throwing caution to the wind and being nuts about faith. Faith's real simple. It's just like any of your other senses. Faith detects what your other senses don't detect. Faith detects the promises of God, things that are in the Spirit that your eyes don't see, because these are in the Spirit. And if you want to get them in the natural, if you want this to become flesh and dwell among you, then you're going to have to believe, and you're going to have to stay on the road of faith until you do come in contact with it. Hallelujah, somebody. It's not even contradicting your other senses. Faith's not saying your body's lying to you. Faith just detects what your other senses don't detect. Faith is not opposed to your senses. Faith is above your senses. Faith is a sense. It's a spiritual sense. And to not operate in faith. See, think about this. To not operate in faith. To just choose to just go by what you see. First of all, you don't do that anyway, because you go by what you hear a lot of times. You go by what you smell sometimes. You go by what you feel. What's it going to be? Is it going to be if I can't feel it or I can't see it? You know, you can't say if I can't feel, see, smell, and all that, because you don't do that with hardly anything. Most of everything, our reality, boils down to one or two of the senses in many cases, sometimes just one. Are you out there? See how unfair we are with faith. We're very unfair with faith. And we're not logical when it comes to faith. We don't make a lot of sense when it comes to believing God, because we don't believe God on the basis of what we see. But that doesn't stop us from feeling things just because we don't see them. Woo! This better preaching, y'all are amening. Faith is a sense. It's a spiritual sense. It's a faculty of the heart, just like eyes, the faculty of sight, or the eyes. And so on and so forth. And you know, I hear people talk about this, and you'll hear people say, I used to believe but don't believe anymore, as if that were some mature thing to say, you know, some intelligent thing to say. I used to believe but don't believe. Well, it'd be like I used to see but I can't see anymore. Yeah, I lost my faith. Well, I lost my sight. Well, I lost my hearing. Aren't you less a person when you lose something? Aren't you cut off from different... I mean, if you lose your hearing, that's pretty bad. I know people that don't hear too well. And it's a bad thing. When you get older, you have to deal with those kinds of things. Are you with me? That's not a good... That's not a plus. That's a minus. That's a negative. Not a good thing. Because what happens is there's a world that you're cut off from. It's called the world of sound. If you can't hear anymore, then you can't hear a baby cry. You can't hear a baby laugh. You can't hear a lot of music. You can hear the birds singing. I love getting in my backyard and listening to birds singing. Mockingbirds in Texas, we have lots of them, you know. They just go all through all kinds of different birds. It just amazes me how they can change, you know, so many tunes so fast. Now, it's just a beautiful sound. It'd be terrible not to be able to hear that. And then sight, to not see a sunset or see, you know, animals playing in the yard or babies playing in the yard or kids, you know, playing or whatever. To lose your sight would be to lose connection to a world, wouldn't it? The world of seeing. Sound, the world of sound. Feeling, the world of feeling. To lose your taste, you know, to not be able to enjoy food. That would be a bad thing, not a good thing. Well, sometimes that happens in people's lives. Sometimes with age it happens. But faith, it's an amazing thing. Faith is something that people just choose to lose. I'm just not going to believe. Well, you're just not going to see today, are you? You're just going to close your eyes all day today? Or are you just going to put earplugs on, don't hear anything today? I'm just not going to hear anything today. Hello? Are you out there? Wouldn't it be terrible to do that and say, I'm just not going to hear anything today? I'm not going to see anything today. I'm just not going to believe anything today. See, there's a whole world you would cut yourself off from. In this case, the real world, the world of God, the world of the Spirit, the moving of God, Jesus, the angels, all on your behalf. You're cutting yourself off from them if you cease to believe. Believing is our connection. It is our battery cables that hooks up to the power. It is the sense that detects and sees into the Spirit. See, just like my eyes detect things in the natural, seeing things, and my hands felt things, and ears heard things, nose smelt things, and mouth tasted things, hallelujah, with my heart, spiritual things, God things. And the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, not naturally discerned. They're not detected with the eyes or the ears. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man things that God prepared for him to love, them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, hallelujah. And God has given us faith so we can connect with him and detect what he has available for us. Terrible world not to be in a world without faith. To lose all that connection, all that contact with God and all of his promises and everything he offers. To never see our way out, because the only way out is a spiritual way out. And we can't see it because we got blinders on our heart. We're not going to believe. And we have no hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not felt, the evidence of things not heard, the evidence of things not smelt, the evidence of things not... See, you go right down the list. I could go and say this. Sight is the evidence of things not heard. That's a sense. It's a sight, a sense of the eyes. Hearing is the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that true? Smelling is the evidence of things not heard. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, heard, smelt, tasted, felt. Not complicated, real simple. Does that make sense? I think sometimes we make it complicated, like it's some wild thing to believe. It's not that wild to believe. We believe lots of things. Come on, I believe the plane's going to hold me up when I get in the plane, and I don't understand all that. That's a type of faith. I believe it's not going to fall out of the sky. I don't understand how all that works. I don't even understand how electricity works. You say, oh, I do. No, you don't. Can you build a sub plant or power plant? Do you know how that works? I don't know how that works. I just know you flip the switch, the light comes on. Hallelujah. And I believe every time I go to it. Are you with me? Makes sense to me. Praise God. It works when I flip the switch. Praise God. So faith is not hoping. Faith is putting substance to what we hope for. Faith detects the things of God, the promises of God. And if you're ever going to move in God, if you ever want these promises to come to pass for you, then you're going to have to learn to believe and walk by faith and not by sight. Which is not complicated. We do that all the time with our senses, our different senses. Isn't that true? I mean, I'll go by what I smell, I go by what I hear, I go by what I see, I go by what I, you know, lots of times we do that. We do that all the time. Goodness, we're constantly checking out one sense as opposed to another, because we're in an environment or we're in a situation where only one sense really is going to help us. Now, we know that. That's a sign of growing up. You grow up and you begin to understand that you need eyes to see, and there are situations you're going to be in that you can see something long before you ever feel it. Well, as you really get mature and you really understand what life's all about, you'll begin to realize that there are things that you can see by faith long before you ever see them in the natural. And you need to start moving and adjusting so you don't get hit by that car coming down the road in the Spirit. Or so you can get to that destination that you see by faith that God shows you. And stay on that road and walk by faith and not by sight till you get there. And don't give up and don't quit until you arrive, until those other senses do come into play. But until then, we are believing and we are walking by our faith and not by our sight. Hallelujah. Okay. Wow. So that's verse 1. Hey, that's good stuff, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love it. Verse 2, and this is really what this chapter 11, is often called the Faith Hall of Fame, you know, where it lists people, men and women of God, that have believed God, that have stood in faith. And they're listed by name, and not only by name, but also by what they did, the individual situations they were in, and how they believed God in their individual situations. And it says, second verse, still talking about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, faith. You see what he's talking about? Still talking about faith. By it, by faith. And this is what you see over and over and over too, verse after verse after verse. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, are you with me? By faith, by faith, by faith. So by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report or good testimony, some translations say. I like that. I want to have a good report from God, don't you? Because ultimately, he's the one we got all answer to for everything that we've done in this life. And there are things that that constitute an A or an A+. There are things that constitute an F, failing grade, as it were. And in life, if you want an A+, then you need to believe God. Because by faith, you get a good report. You don't get a good report with God by not believing. You get a good report with God by believing. By faith. By faith. Now, that doesn't mean God's testing us constantly. I don't believe God's testing. I believe the devil's testing us. God doesn't give us the test, but he does pass out the grades. The Bible says, when you're tempted, tested, and tried, let you not say that you're tempted, tested, tried of God. God tempted, tested, tries no man. That's James, the first chapter, tells us that. And we know when the tester or tempter came to Jesus, it was the devil, not God. So you're being tried and tempted and tested all the time. The devil's trying to knock you off your faith. And really, this fight we're fighting, 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. You and I are in a fight, and it's a good fight because we win, but it's a fight of faith. And the devil's trying to get you to not believe God. He's trying to knock you off faith. But if you'll stay in faith, you'll win, and you'll get a good report with God. And this is what we see that's common. I love this. When you look at this, all these men, all these women that are mentioned in the 11th chapter, we're going to go over some of these cases in the next few weeks. You know, a good question to ask is, what is their commonality, or what is the common ground between all these people? Because some of them were men, some of them were women, some were kings, some were leaders or preachers, some of them weren't. Some of them were just, you know, regular guys. One of them just built a boat. Hello. One of them actually got killed by his brother, Abel. His blood cried out from the ground, you know. One of them just walked with God, Enoch, and was not, and taken up into heaven. So there's a lot of, when you look at them and what they did, it was totally different. Totally different situations. Some of them delivered people from, from Egypt, Moses, and some of them just saved his family, and so did Noah. Sarah had a child, you know, Abraham and Sarah. I mean, you go through, there's a lot of different situations and circumstances and different times they lived in, and different ages that they were. Some were young, some were old. They had different occupations, different genders, male and female. So what is common? What would be common amongst them all? The common thread is they believed. That's what pleased God. You say, well, if I had what Moses had, well, you know, that's not what we're talking about. Well, if I were a leader like him, well, no, that's not really what it's all about. I mean, because they weren't all leaders. Well, if God called me out of Ur of the Chaldees and go into Canaan land, well, he did one man that's listed here, but he didn't the rest of them. Well, if he told me to build a boat, well, he only told one man to build a boat. Hello? See, you start saying, well, what is it that's common? I wish I had that kind of experience with God. Well, they all had different experiences. They didn't have common experiences other than they all believed. Hallelujah. That speaks volumes right there. Amen? So what was it that caused them all to have a good report? By faith, the elders obtained a good report, good testimony. You can have a good testimony. Right here in Wills Point, Texas. Woo-hoo! If you live in Frog, Elmo, or parts beyond, Edgewood, Terrell, Are you, wherever you are, and whoever you are, and whatever your age is, and whatever your calling is, it doesn't matter. If you will believe, praise God, you can please God and you can get a good report. And we all have it. In fact, that'd be another subject altogether, just teach a whole message on we all have faith. Because the Scripture does say that in many cases, and we could go through that over and over. You're not left out. You're not without faith. All of us have it. We just need to put it to work. We need to use it. Amen? And if we will, well, we'll get a good report from God, and we'll see His promises. Hallelujah. We'll see His promises come to pass. The prophecies of old. The Scripture will take on flesh and dwell among us. Hallelujah. And those things that we hope for and desired and dreamed about all of our life, we can put substance to them. We can make our dreams come true. If we'll take the cables that have been disconnected for so long and hook them to the power source of God's Word and let the juices flow, amen? Let the Holy Ghost flow. Woo!